The city of Tijuana has migrants from all over the world in its shelters, ranging from Central and South America to Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. The shelters do the best they can with what they have, trying to accommodate all these different cultures, but for Muslim migrants and refugees wanting to adhere to their religious practices, being thrown together can make it tough to stay pious. So what options do they have in Tijuana? Well, up until late June, none. But now, they have a place to stay. This is prayer time at a shelter for Muslims in Tijuana run by the Latina Muslim Foundation. Sonia Garcia is the president, and recently she showed us around.
This place was a purpose of making parties every weekend, like quinceañeras, birthdays.
It's a two-story, 8,000-square-foot building that can house 150 people. It has a blue minaret on top that serves as a beacon for Muslims in Tijuana and also as a symbol for the presence of Islam.
And the musala where we pray was a bar. It used to be a drinking place. So right now it's a worship place. We say from haram to halal.
A few years ago, when Sonia was volunteering at a migrant shelter in Tijuana, she noticed women wearing hijab, and that got her thinking about creating a space for Muslims. One where they would not be served pork, one where they could pray five times a day, and where men and women would not have to sleep in the same room. The women she saw that day were from Somalia, but in the few months since her shelter opened, Sonia has welcomed in people from Yemen, Afghanistan, Chechnya, and Russia. We spoke in her office, where I asked her about what migrants in her shelter say about leaving their countries.
You know, when they leave the countries, a lot of them, they leave for many reasons, like Latin America, many reasons, political persecution, a war. So it's for many reasons they leave, you know, and we're here to support them, to help them.
And one of the common themes that we have heard so far on our trip here to Tijuana is that migrants aren't necessarily leaving their countries for a better life. They're leaving their countries for a life, just to have almost a life.
Yes, yes. They don't want to leave. They live very happy in where they are. But if there is something dangerous for them, and especially there is no more work, no life for the kids, they want to leave. They don't have a choice. They have to leave. And not only in Syria and Lebanon, they have in many, many places right now, they start getting problems where they have to live with the family. For example, right now, what happened with Russia right now, Russia trying to take the men to go to fight. They don't want to fight. They don't want to die. They don't want to put the family in risk. So men are saying, no, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to stay here. I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to kill people. I prefer to leave, and then I take my family out of that. This is just samples, what we hear from them.
In terms of helping the migrants that are here get asylum, what things are you able to do? What kind of help are you able to offer them?
We help them with a legal assistant, with doctors, with psychologists as well. They have many issues. We give them some art, some classes, Quran classes also. They have a lot of mental issues, especially being scared. For example, the families who have everyday work, like Afghanos, Afghanistan, Yemenis, especially the kids. The kids, when they come here to Mexico, they're so scared. They don't want to leave the room. We have kids that never talk. They just signs. They don't talk. They have anger problems, issues, the kids. So we notice a lot that they have problems, mental problems, because why they went through. Imagine hitting bombs, guns every day. So we have a girl, little girl. She doesn't talk, and she doesn't go with anybody except the mom. Even she was living here for a while, it took us many, many months for her to trust us and to finally to say a little word that I want food, I want to eat in English. Maybe 6 months with the time she came, it took 6 months for that girl to experience a little bit opening on her. This is how the kids, when they come, that's dramatical for them.
Do you hear people tell you how much they appreciate it? Because, I mean, I can't imagine for a second to be a migrant and be a Muslim, to come to a country where you probably don't expect to find another Muslim, but then you find this place, a place where they can be themselves in a way that lines up with how they want to live in their identity. I mean, do people tell you, like, I can't believe that this place is here?
Yes, they do. And they so appreciate so much. Few days ago, we have a brother that he didn't know the place. He didn't know there is a place for Muslims. He came by himself from Russia. So he stayed in the hotel. Somehow, someone in downtown told him there is a, say, are you Muslim? Somehow he met another Muslim. He said, yes. He said, why are you not in the shelter? He said, what shelter? There is a shelter for Muslims. So he came right away and he moved in. And the same way you see, his eyes was like, wow, amazing. I could pray. I could eat halal food. I could stay safe because they feel safe. Even though there is nothing outside, they want to be harm them. But when they in the community, they be safe. The women, the children. Little by little, the community or the refugees who comes, they start knowing from social media, from another Muslim that they maybe they came and they crossed. They say, go to the shelter. There is a shelter for you. It's so satisfying for me to see the people that this place is being served for them by the sake of Allah. God make this for them, and they're so grateful for that.
That's Sonia Garcia. She's the president of the Latina Muslim Foundation.